Weekdays from 5 a.m. Breakfast with Richard King.
And being a Tuesday morning and being around about the right time, 25 to 9, it's the time I catch up with our IT and gadget guru who's got a wonderful website, techguide.com.au. Everything we talk about and a whole heap more, including some great competitions, all there on Stephen Fenwick's website. The man himself is on the line. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Richard. How you doing?
Terrific. Look, I mentioned in birthdays and anniversaries this morning, it was on this day back in 1908 that the Model T Ford first went on sale. Motor vehicles have come a long way since then. And look, there was been a lot of discussion about this suggestion over in the United States that they perhaps ban or look at banning Chinese-made electric vehicles because of safety and privacy concerns, questioning whether or not they may be weaponized for malicious purposes. And Barnaby Joyce bought into that one and had a bit to say. Look, is this something we should genuinely be afraid of, Stephen, do you think?
No, it's not. I think, it's usually this sort of hysteria around China normally rears its head every few months. So we get that with TikTok. They threaten to ban TikTok every 6 months and other Chinese-related products, whether they be cars or technology. We also hearing the same thing. Not all Chinese brands are designed to infiltrate our society. They are actually built to sell in our market and to perform as they're described to perform. So, mate, I think they were being a little bit paranoid.
But I had a caller earlier this morning that said all recent makes of cars have a SIM card and that therefore, in theory, they can be hacked.
Well, anything can be hacked if you know, if the right person has the right access. So, you know, the fact that it's got a SIM card, it's a data SIM for a start. So it doesn't actually have a phone number as such. So it is just built so that it can link to the network.
Okay.
That's just a way to provide that connectivity for vehicles.
All right. Look, I've also had a couple of emails from people suggesting I should ask you about. About EVs, the price is coming down, but the cost of insurance because of fires and the danger of fires with these batteries, that the insurance premiums for e-vehicles is going through the roof. And in fact, I had one. They were talking about their insurance premium on a Tesla went up to about $6,000. Is that correct? That the insurance for e-vehicles is going up astronomically?
Not to my knowledge, and I've been insuring an EV for 7 years now, and I do remember when the Model S, when Tesla first came on the market, they were considered high-powered vehicles. So you're talking so like Ferrari, Porsche sort of style high-powered vehicles, and the insurance companies at the time thought, well, they have a premium attached to them, but also too, you got to remember those Model S's they're over $100,000 to begin with anyway, so they're not cheap cars to insure to begin with, whether they're an EV or not.
Yeah.
So over the years, though, I'm seeing parity now with all the insurance companies. So, and also it helps that now all these years later, that EVs are starting to be priced around the same as what a petrol car is priced at as well, which, again, affects the insurance value as well. So the EVs aren't being singled out for higher insurance. It really depends on the EV, and you can get EVs that cost $150,000, $200,000, and, of course, that's going to be higher insurance compared to an MG that's going to cost you $35,000.
Yeah, all right, I'll move on. But I did have an email from Kelvin, it was, last week. He said he purchased an EV 15 months ago. The first year's insurance premium was $1,160. The annual renewal arrived recently. The premium was $6,289.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know what I'd be doing? I'd be ringing other insurance companies. Oh, it's just the insurance game works in strange ways sometimes. And if I don't get a good quote, I'm going to go somewhere else and get a better quote. That's ridiculous, though, going from $1,000 to $6,000. I'd be reporting that insurance company to the Fair Trading.
Yeah, yeah, so would I. All right, yeah. 20 to 9, my guest, our IT and gadget guru, Stephen Fenwick. You've spoken in the past about Apple's augmented glasses. They're a closed thing, aren't they? But Meta have now got their Orion, which is their first pair of augmented reality glasses. They actually do look like glasses, I believe.
They do, yeah. Well, the Apple Vision Pro is basically a headset for augmented reality and virtual reality, so you need that sort of closed-in design. The new Meta Orion, these are still prototype. They're meant for augmented reality, so basically placing 2D, 3D content in your physical world. So they do look like glasses, still pretty thick and heavy for my taste, but again, they're getting closer to the form factor that would be attractive to a customer. They require you to wear a wristband, so that provides the interactivity, so the gesture control. But they also need you to carry around a smartphone size puck, which sort of takes a bit of the processing load off the glasses as well. So not quite at the level of for customer use just yet. Impressive features on it, so you're able to make calls and see all your apps, and the AI on board can recognise objects, recognise people that you know. All that is right there in front of you, literally in your eye line. So that's exciting, and I think the fact that Meta has been working on this for 5 years and they've actually shrunk it down to this size, that's pretty impressive. It's still probably 2 or 3 years away from being a product that goes on sale, but it is an exciting development, though, to bring us closer to that reality of having all that technology built into a pair of glasses.
Well, and I know you've spoken about the Apple version of this, and they're not cheap, and I dare say the same with this Orion. They won't be cheap when they
go on the market. Vision Pro offers a lot more than this does.
Okay.
Vision Pro is augmented reality as well as virtual reality. This is just augmented reality. But I see this as a bit of a shot across the bow to Apple to say, well, Meta saying, well, look what we can do. And, Meta already have their Quest VR headset. They've just announced the Quest 3S, which is a bit more affordable model. So they're all already playing in the same space as the Vision Pro. This is an entirely new product altogether that is designed for you to use on the go anywhere you are, whereas the Quest and the Vision Pro are meant to be used indoors and in your own environment at home. So this is meant to be out in the world, whereas the others are meant to be used indoors.
Well, as you know, I updated my phone. I've been a Galaxy user or a Samsung user for quite some time now, and I've got the basic model of the S24. They've just released a new one, the S24 FE. What's this one?
FE, that stands for Fan Edition, and Samsung normally do this. So your S24 is better than this one. Your S24 is the flagship model. This is a more affordable model with a selection of the flagship features, including Galaxy AI. So the S24 FE has a 6.7-inch display, it has 120Hz refresh rate, but also has the processing power to handle Galaxy AI, so it can help you rewrite text, come up with text, edit your images, improve your images, all that sort of generative AI as well, just sort of meant to help your productivity and your creativity. And but still not as good as with your phone and the rest of the S24 range, but a more affordable version, starting at $1,099, which is sort of in the ballpark of sort of that mid-range, a bit more accessible to customers who want a taste of the flagship features but without paying full freight for the S24 range.
And what about the size? I mean, some of these phones are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, which I don't like. I think the FE in the past has been a bit smaller than the...
No, this one's 6.7 inches. Yeah, I said before, 6.7 inch AMOLED display. Yep. Yeah, 6.7. So it's about the same size as the rest. I think yours is 6.7, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So it's about the same size as that. Similar design language as well to the rest of them, so it looks like it's part of the family. But you've got faster processor, better camera and all that. This still has good camera and a fast enough processor to handle Galaxy AI. But it is a bit more affordable.
All right. And while we're talking AI, have you had a chance to have a listen to any of that obscurest vinyl that I mentioned last week? Did you?
I haven't had a chance.
Oh, no. Well, I want you to, because they keep popping up all the time.
Okay.
And there are so many of them. They've got, I'm sure they're AI generated. There are a heap of them, but I won't play them on the radio. They are a bit rude. But yeah, have a look.
Yep. I'll have a listen, yeah.
Obscurest vinyl.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Who are you picking for the winner in the grand final on Sunday, Steve?
I think the Storm has sort of been the form team all year, and I reckon they've probably got the edge. Unfortunate for them to lose Asafa Solomona for the grand final, but I still think they've got the depth, mate, to take them through. They've got just class across the park.
And you see, Andrew Johns reckons he'd like to see Addo Carr end up at South Sydney. Do you agree with him?
Well,
you
want him at Josh Addo Carr, he obviously mates with Latrell Mitchell,
yep.
And he's an Indigenous fellow as well, so we've got plenty of room for our Indigenous fellow guys at South. We're a pretty tight bunch of guys there.
Yeah.
So, mate, I would love to see him on the wing, but I'm just wondering which wing he's going to go on. We've got Alex Johnson and we've got plenty of talent in the back line already.
Yeah, you have indeed. All right, always good to talk to you, mate. Have a great week. We'll catch up next Tuesday.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Richard.
Likewise. Stephen Fenwick, our IT and gadget guru.